It's the Odd Drunk Podcast, a very strange podcast, the drunkest show in the world. It's Jackson and Colton talking out of their ass. We don't care as long as drinks are poured. Sometimes we have our friends here. We will talk about anything. We don't care as long as we have beer. And if you let that whiskey ring. The Odd Drunk Podcast.
The Fallout TV show comes out this coming Friday.
Yeah.
And
I'm skeptical but excited.
Yeah, it looks good. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're being pretty faithful.
The costuming and
but the last time I got excited about an Amazon show, it was Rings of Power, and that burned me pretty hard, so.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Yeah, to say the least.
But I've been playing Fallout New Vegas recently again. Nice. And
of course.
I came to a realization that in the Fallout series, there is one thing that Bethesda did with those games that was genius. Just pure peak game design, and it's the radio.
Oh yeah, that's
because wandering around the Mojave with like old like 50s country music playing, that's just like good vibes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting geckos, listening to some Hank Williams, good vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my first time in that world, and the soundtrack definitely added to the immersion. Anyways, yeah, we're recording.
Yep.
Welcome to the Odd Drunk Podcast. This episode, it's gonna be the first kind of
experimental.
Bit of a warning here.
Trying a new thing with this episode, sort of.
It's gonna be an incredibly loose episode. This is 99% off the top of our heads. But we are asking a question and attempting to answer said question. Well, speculate and just have fun with it.
Yeah.
This isn't meant to be taken seriously. Nothing we're saying is what we believe, or at least
this
I think
is
what we believe. If you can state that if you want, but this is just for this is just a thought exercise. And it's not even really a philosophical, like, we're not framing it anyway like that. Just metaphysics thought exercise.
It's we're gonna be talking a little bit of philosophy, but take it with a grain of salt. This is the equivalent of two really stoned guys just who think they're really, discovering the universe.
I'm not stoned, but I am drinking. I'm just drinking.
But it's gonna be that sort of energy. So.
Given our both of our jobs, it's not necessarily the best idea. Even though, I mean, I don't have random drug testing, but still not the best idea. I got a really huge beer.
I can see that. That's a very big beer.
It's like bigger than my head. Well, it's not open yet. I want to open it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, no fizz.
Oh, no, I didn't hear any crack there. Don't worry. When I open my next beer, I'll get a good beer crack there.
Anyways, my dad's been up here, and I'll definitely post a picture of this bad boy. I mean, it is as big as my bottle of rum here, just for comparison.
Yeah.
They are roughly the same size.
That's massive.
And I'm back. But anyways, it's a massive beer. My dad picked it up on his big motorcycle trip. They had a motorcycle rally in Scottsdale.
Oh, nice.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Oh, sick. Sick.
Pretty fun. That old geezer. Still playing. Crazy. But
I like George Thorogood, yeah.
But yeah, this is out of Bisbee, Arizona. Way down south by the border there. Heard it's really nice. I've been throughout northern Arizona quite a bit now. Now I got to go that way, south. But
yeah,
from Bisbee, Arizona, from Old Bisbee Brewing Company, and it is just says it's an IPA. That's all it says.
Just IPA.
IPA, seven, either that's 7.2 or 7%. Or 72. I hope
72%. Holy shit. That's...
Yeah, one of those beers. Oh, and it was apparently brewed on April the 2nd.
Ah, so fresh.
Yeah,
fresh. That's good. I know a guy. I have a good friend who is very. He's been a brewer at a bunch of different breweries.
Yeah, that's quite strong
over the years, and he's very picky. He does not drink beer that's like more than like a month or two old, ever. So when he's in the liquor store, he's going through six pack by six pack, looking at the bottom of the cans to see the expert or the canned date. I've got it here. We've had a few times on the podcast. Starburst from Ecliptic Brewing. Yeah. It's just a really, really solid IPA. I like it. It's good. I was at the liquor store today. I was at Star Liquor today because they were more convenient.
Hell yeah, classic.
And I was looking through their beer selection, and I was like, yeah, let's go with a ye olde faithful here.
Nice.
I almost bought some rum.
Ecliptic Brewing.
But I decided that I didn't need both rum and beer, and I definitely wanted the beer. So I didn't get any rum.
I know I had someone ask me a question: do you prefer beer or alcohol? And I said both.
Yes.
Anyways, and I also got some bamboo rum that I've had the last few episodes. I've made it last this time.
Nice.
For a couple weeks. I'm extremely disappointed in myself, though, because the cork was super dry when I first got it.
Mm.
And, like, half of it broke off. So it's, like, floating in the bottle.
I hate when that happens, yeah.
But it's just long enough that it still works.
Nice.
But it's like soaked up probably like 10% of the rum.
Now you got to eat it. When you finish the bottle, if you can get it, get it out of the bottle, suck on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fish it out of there. But, anyways, yeah, we have a little bit of a different episode here today, boys and girls and people and whatever. I better stop myself from saying anything. Just not saying anything. No, but we got a different episode here. We are asking a question. You see the title. What happens after you die? And before we even start discussing that question, or before we get there, I want to explain why I kind of thought of this as an episode. And
okay.
I also want to explain the idea that this, just asking the question, it could be any question. You know, what is the meaning of life? Or just ask that question. are unicorns real? You know, just any question. And I think, you know, that could be a fun thing.
Yeah,
just ask a question and then we just go off for a bit. And also, well, we recently did another SCP episode. Check it out if you want a spooky episode. And there's an SCP called What Happens After. It explains this incredibly gruesome process in which this guy dies. And he like feels every atom of his body rupture and all this stuff, and then they bring him back, and he's like, "Holy shit, we got to keep people from dying because it sucks." It's not like hell; you're just deteriorating forever and whatever, which is its own hell in itself. But so that kind of started it, and then coincidentally, I got a YouTube video recommendation. This guy did a tier list of different theories of what happens after you die. And I was like, you know what? This could be an interesting topic. And for anyone listening, and for anyone religious listening or atheist, whatever you subscribe to or don't subscribe to, this is just a thought experiment. This is
Yeah,
just
this is
for
just
fun.
a fun thing to talk about. If we say
We are
anything
not.
that you disagree with because of your beliefs, take it easy. We don't mean
Yeah,
anything
take it
by it.
easy. We don't mean, yeah, or
Yeah,
we do,
like,
but it's a
but
podcast, man.
we're not trying to step on beliefs. We're just
And also,
discussing.
this is going to be an exploration of the different ideas, different theories and beliefs on what happens after you die.
Yeah.
Because honest to God, I mean, well, no pun intended, but honestly, no one knows.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
I like the idea of talking about this sort of thing. I have a I wouldn't call it a passion. I would call it a hobbyist level interest in philosophy. I like reading about
Yep.
stuff like that. And
That would be a great
the
paper, honestly.
question of what we do after we die is, it's a weird question because it there's a lot of belief that's built behind
Yes.
different theories of it. So it doesn't fall neatly into some philosophical arguments, but it is still technically a topic in philosophy, and there is stuff to be said about it, because what is philosophy if not just trying to answer questions that
It's
we don't have physical evidence for? That's
one
all
of
it
the
is. It's
ultimate
all philosophy
open
is.
and yeah, it's one of the ultimate open-ended questions, since we begin to have a conscious and think about our surroundings. And you know, it's one of the questions, one of the things, one of the reasons that led, you know, well, not the reason, but one of the reasons, one of the things that led to religion and, you know, trying to explain these things, you know, and
Right.
then science comes around, and even that can only explain so much on what happens after. We know what causes it, death. We know how the process in which we are born, but we don't know what happens after. And there's plenty of theories out there. I'm sure there's some scientific theories or ideas or. Everyone's got their own, ooh, I
Yeah.
have the evidence, or I had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Everyone's got that. Well, not everyone, but there's a lot of things out there floating around.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun, just to start, let's just go through some of the most popular ideas.
Right.
Just to kind of get us going. So one that I actually kind of like, and not necessarily doing like a ranking on like what's actually, let's start at the like most scientific one, the atheist one, you know, and well, I say the most scientific, but this is the most practical and the most, for a lot of people, logical explanation.
Yeah.
When you die, you just cease to exist.
Yeah, well,
And
that's a whole, I mean, honestly, the idea.
we don't. Okay, well, there's a famous quote from Mark Twain, actually, and I have it, so I don't butcher it. "I do not fear death. I had been dead for billions and billions of years before I was born. And I had not suffered the slightest inconvenience from it." So basically, the idea is like we didn't exist until we were born. So what's the difference when we die?
I mean th
But
this
then.
that's kind of an interesting. I was thinking about this before we recorded. Personally, because I'm not religious, the short answer for my own thoughts on it is I have no reason to believe in an afterlife. Obviously, I don't know. But so I spend more time myself thinking about my relationship with death rather than what happens afterwards. And that's kind of that can of worms where it's like the idea that maybe there is no afterlife is
that's. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about non-existence as one of the options.
I think it was
here's the issue.
Socrates talks about death a little bit, and he basically goes, if there's either two options, there either is an after, so either death is an endless sleep, nothing happens, you just cease, or death is a transition into an afterlife. And he goes, either way is cool because we all know I need
the
rest.
I think we can agree that there is a transition.
Yeah.
You're living, you die. What is that transition? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart starts beating. You stop thinking, or at least that's a theory. You know, we'll get into ones where, your consciousness remains. And that's part of, like, afterlife stuff, or perhaps part of, like, becoming one with the universe if your chakras are aligned, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we could talk about simulation, like Matrix. Oh, you're just unplugged and then someone restarts. Or, like, it's the Rick and Morty game where they live the whole guy's life.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, but the whole idea, okay, you die, you cease to exist, you stop thinking. And if you can't think, if you don't have a consciousness, if you cease to exist, then there wouldn't be any suffering.
Yeah.
It definitely wouldn't be as bad as hell.
I mean, the idea of non-existence is is from an existential perspective is kind of frightening, but I also think it's
personally, I like existing. It's pretty cool.
Well,
but there's a lot of people out there that don't have that do not have a good existence.
Yeah.
But either way, not existing, we're not thinking about it. It's not like you die and you're conscious and then there's just nothing. So like you're thinking, and you're just kind of in this weird, just in this void.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, that, yeah, I mean, I reasonably don't think that would be a possibility. And if it is, that would suck. But, you know, but just ceasing to exist, poof, you're gone.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well,
That isn't the worst option. There's definitely worse.
Well, I was reading recently.
We read
kind
Dante's
of,
Inferno. We'll get into to hell and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that'll be fun to talk about. But like you mentioned, was that Mark Twain that you quoted?
Yeah, Mark Twain.
That quote like kind of reminded me of something I was reading earlier. It was, this is probably wrong, I want to say it was Hegel, so I'm gonna say it was Hegel. Probably wasn't. Said something about like theorizing, like, why do we fear death? And there's kind of a theory of it's not that we fear death, it's that we fear missing out on what we could live. But then he goes, but we also, there's also so much that happened before we lived that we missed out on. But we don't worry about having missed out on that.
Don't worry about, well.
So people, why would we worry about missing out on what will happen after we're gone?
We play around and speculate, oh, if I had a time machine, if I could go back. Or I was born in the wrong time. I should have been born in the 70s or whatever. We kind of play around with that, but that's not like a fear.
Yeah,
I'm not fearful, but like, oh, shucks.
Like, would I have loved to see Johnny Cash in concert in his prime? Of course.
That's a want.
But does the
That's
thought
a want.
Yeah. But does the thought that I was not alive when he was in his prime
terrify you?
fill me with existential dread? No.
No.
I'm
but the
okay
thought
with it.
That you'll miss, well, you'll miss your family, your friends, you'll miss opportunities. And, you know, people even joke around or like, okay, if I can see this movie or see this band in concert or go to the World Series or whatever, if I can do that, then I can die happy.
Yeah.
You know, people say that kind of thing. But that's never final because there's always another thing that you want to do and another thing you want to see.
Right.
And there's always going to be people you're going to miss and that you're
so many
gonna
video
mourn
games
that
I
you're
haven't
going to be gone.
finished.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I got to finish Dragon's Dogma. I got to finish, you know.
There's video
I,
games that, but I have to remind myself, there's
games
video
I haven't
games
played.
that I'm realistically never going to finish because I have a very short attention span with
I
video
saw a
games.
video essay.
So.
I saw a video essay that was like, oh, you'll never be able to play like every game. Like, it's just not possible. But I don't want to play every game. I want to play good
Yeah.
games. Thank you very
I
much.
used to slight side tangent. I used to honestly stress myself out about like finishing video games because like I do sometimes have a short attention span with video games, not because I don't enjoy the game I'm playing, but because I'll be playing a game and then later that night I'll be watching YouTube and a video will pop up of, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5, and I'll be like, ooh, I should go play that again. And then I'll go play that for a little bit and forget about the game I was playing before.
Yep.
And so this continuous cycle of me
you're just
just
hopping around.
hopping around in games and not actually getting in, like progressing in some of them.
Right.
Recently I've just been like, no, I'm just going to play what I feel like playing. It's cool. I
Yeah,
don't have
just
to
what you feel
finish a
like.
game if I don't feel
And you're
like
in the
finishing
mood.
it.
Yeah, I've only got 15 hours in Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Yeah.
And it's decent. It's fun enough. It's kind of more classic formula. But, you know,
I still haven't played
it's not
it.
scratching my itch right now. You
Which
know,
is
it's
crazy considering how much of an Assassin's Creed fan I am, but it's
and
on
it's a good game. Beautiful
it's on
setting,
it's
you
on
know,
Epic Gate. It's on the Epic Game Store, and
you
you
know,
can totally get Epic Game Store stuff
Middle Ages
running
Baghdad.
on the
It's
Steam
cool.
Deck. On the Steam Deck, you can totally get Epic Game Store running, but it's kind of, I just don't feel like dealing with
Anyways,
that.
we digress. So yeah,
we
I
get
get you can miss
distracted
out.
By video games. Shocker.
Yeah, and I like video games, and not being able to play them would suck. But if you're not conscious for it, then it's not going to affect you either way. You finally die, and then that's it. That's it. You know,
yeah.
That's all she wrote. You're not thinking about it because you're not thinking.
Well, and there's also all sorts of
But I don't
thoughts
think,
about how.
And this isn't me like implanting any spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs, but I actually don't think that would be necessarily the case.
Yeah.
And this goes to like quantum physics, the Einstein, because
Yeah.
energy is neither created or destroyed. So theoretically, in theory, our consciousness, which our brain, we understand more about outer space than we do our own brains.
Yeah, brains are just remarkable.
It's an enigma. It's the most advanced computer in the world. Even, yeah, there's a lot of dumb people, but it's the most advanced computer that we barely know anything about, our own brain. So what consciousness is, I mean, we know it's a neuron that's firing, but that's energy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just cease to exist.
Yeah.
That doesn't just go away. It has to go somewhere. And this kind of brings us into some other theories. And this doesn't necessarily have to be overtly religious, but like,
well, there's all sorts of theories that I mean, hell, there's
an idea. I've seen theories that we're just in a loop.
Yeah.
Like, we've already lived our life who knows how many times. And
my life is flashing before my eyes right now.
Yeah. Who's to say?
And then when it's done flashing before my eyes, it'll flash before my eyes again in that flashback.
You respawn, but you don't remember. You don't have your previous save file, right? You don't remember anything, so it feels like it's new again.
I don't remember which mods I had installed, so I just had to reinstall all of them again and start anew.
In theory, I'll get to watch Breaking Bad infinitely, and I'll I'll forget it, watch again, be like, oh my god, I can't believe I waited this long to watch a show, and then die, and then wait too long to watch it, and then, oh my god, I forgot to watch the show, watch it, die. So that's cool. So that theory definitely beats the whole nothingness thing, because but it's really no different.
Well, and there's also
at least
theories
from your perspective, because if you forget your whole life, and then you when you die, and then you're back, what does that mean to you? It doesn't mean anything. It's like you lived your life once.
Well, there's also beliefs about after we die that just don't, not saying they're not saying that there's not an afterlife, but like beliefs about how we can live on in certain ways. So like one of my favorite ideas is that we live on through the memories of people who knew us.
For the memories,
and the stories and about us. So like, you know, if I were to die tomorrow, maybe I'm gone from my perspective. But in some ways I would still be present in the world.
Yeah, and we're not talking about ghosts.
No. I mean, like, I mean,
but
through,
like, just through people's memory. Yeah, and you know, this podcast, I mean, we have 170.
This is episode 171. This one is.
But of us talking,
we need
to get more guests, but you know,
30 or 40 episodes away from beating out The Office.
Yeah. But think about this though. I mean, like, you know, who knows how long civilization's gonna go around, but we're gonna be around. Our discussions here, all our drunken tirades, all our stupidity, all our brief moments of reason, it's gonna go on way, 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 way beyond our deaths. Whether we're in the cloud out there, the Odd Drunk Podcast, this show from 100 years ago. You know, it's just wild to think about, because we've put ourselves out there. We're out there. And, you know, that's cool to think about. And I can, that gives me a little, not necessarily, I mean, it's not going to matter to me.
Here's this, Jackson. Here's this for you.
That's cool.
Steve Carell left the office.
Hundreds of out.
Steve Carell left The Office on episode 148. We have more. We're officially into the post Steve Carell.
There's that many episodes of The Office.
Oh yeah, it was like 205 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow, Jesus.
So somewhere around there. Yeah, but we're officially have more episodes of the podcast out than there are episodes of The Office with Steve Carell in it.
With Steve Carell. But yes. Like even that, like after you know any, well, history. I mean, the only reason we know anything about anything and about any of these people we talk about like ancient philosophers, is because somebody recorded that.
Yeah.
I
got my.
Or they passed it along. You know,
I spent 4 years in college studying dead people.
Yeah. And they live on. We're talking about them all the time. You know, kids are getting failing over them, or they're acing and they're happy over it, or, you know, dreading writing about Mark Twain and reading his dumb books about Tom Sawyer, you know. But he
his
lives
dumb
on.
Books. Yes.
I mean, well, they're actually really, Mark Twain's an amazing writer. But you know what I mean? He lives on. Everybody we've ever talked about lives on that way.
Yes.
As long as you leave some kind of imprint
hell
in the world. I mean,
Keith Richards is still out there playing shows, and he's been dead for like 20 years. So,
yeah,
don't know how he does it, but.
Well, yeah, and think about that. Like, people, well, I'm wearing a Nirvana shirt. Like, Kurt Cobain's been, rest in peace, dead for 30 years. I'm not going to get into all that, but he lives on through his music.
Yeah.
And all, you know, that's a cool thing to think about. And that gives comfort, even if there's nothing, you know, even if it's non-existence after, knowing that people will remember you and that you as a entity, just a piece of you, lives on.
Yeah. Yeah, you are not,
the world.
You are not gone. Even though, even if
your memory's not gone, your ideas aren't gone, you're not, you know, all that. That gives comfort.
Yeah.
But yeah, the looping thing, like, you just respawn. Imagine if you're a stillborn child or something, like, so you just respawn, die, respawn, die. But you always forget.
But yeah, but they don't know, so it's fine.
No. Or, you know, if you're enslaved, or, and this also opens a can of worms where it's like everyone who's ever lived ever is simultaneously alive, or at least in their perception, like,
yeah,
everyone who's ever lived is living in their own perception, right?
Yeah,
if the looping thing is real. And then another thing before we get like crazy into like religious beliefs, well, this one is one of the first ones I want to talk about, actually. Reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one also goes along with the idea that energy is neither created or destroyed. It's got to go somewhere. It's still there. And you just reincarnate. So, like, after we die, you might, depending on your karma, well, even besides, some people think it could be random. You know, Buddhism believes it's based on karma, or, you know,
right.
Or is that Hinduism? I don't want to get this wrong. I think both have.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
But either way, based on your karma, you might end up being a lion or a snake, or you might end up being
the,
just a fly.
The
or,
type of Buddhism,
you know,
that I've
cool?
read up on is the Zen Buddhism, which is less.
Zen, yeah.
It's a little bit less spiritual.
Well,
like,
I think there's another idea where
traditional Buddhism,
you don't reincarnate, but you rather become one with the universe, or, you know, and that's another thing. But reincarnation, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of cool. If
yeah,
that's
I mean.
Because if that's true, because you get to play as different, you get different playthroughs, essentially, in life.
Yeah.
It's like, after I die, you might respawn as a lion hunting elephants in Africa, and like, that's your playthrough. And
yeah.
And then you die, and then maybe you're a physicist, and then you die, and maybe you're just an ant, and then you die, and then maybe you're just a tree, and then after, well, until you get chopped down or something, or you're a well-preserved tree, like the white tree of Minas Tirith, like,
the dead.
Either way, or
no,
if
it's still alive,
you're,
but
it is still
they
alive,
have the vision of it being burned.
Yeah, either way,
yeah,
after eons of being a tree, then you finally die, and then, oh, now you're a platypus. I don't know, but what's
platypus
cool about that, you get all these different
puts
playthroughs,
on a
all these
hat,
different
Perry the platypus.
Perspectives.
Yeah.
And so, in many ways, that's one of the more ideal,
I
not
like
the most ideal,
I like
but
the
one
idea
of the more
of
ideal.
reincarnation.
Yeah, it's one of the more ideal forms of afterlife. And I've known people that said, I knew this lady that was like, yeah, I used to be an Egyptian princess and all this stuff, you know, in my past life. But
reincarnation is a belief in Hinduism, but also some Buddhists believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Hinduism, like, at all, other than I had some neighbors when I was a kid who, or when I was in high school, who moved in next door, and they were Hindu, and they invited us over for, they had a ceremony to, like, kind of, I don't know, bless, I guess, their house.
Okay.
That's cool. And it was super cool. They had a, what is the Hindu equivalent of a priest? Are they called priests? I don't know what they would be called.
I don't want to say anything offensive.
Yeah, I'm like really treading, because I don't know the terms and the positions and stuff like that. But I remember him being very cool and answering questions very, like, in a very earnest, like, he was actually interested to hear our questions for him, which was very, very cool. And she also, the homeowner, the mom, made a like a tofu, like, curry dish that was so good. Delicious. That had nothing to do with the Hindu part, but it was very, very good. I remember it, though. I remember it. No, Buddha, I guess it is part of some types of Buddhism.
Yeah, so
not all Buddhism really falls in, because some forms of Buddhism I know are less spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not spiritual at all, but they're more,
but it's more about
philosophical than they are
how, like, you live your life and karma.
I really like Buddhism, but I could not be a Buddhist for a few reasons. But I admire, well, it's because Buddhism, I mean, you're familiar a bit with the idea of, in Buddhism, there is the idea that everything is one, everything is, like, a construct, nothing actually exists by itself. And that the idea is that in true enlightenment is not just understanding this, but truly, truly internalizing and understanding it in a way that's kind of hard to comprehend if you're not enlightened. I kind of had a realization when I was learning about this that Buddhism does force you into a perspective of moral, at the very least, moral skepticism, if not moral nihilism.
we've discussed that.
So I decided, I, as much as I admire Buddhism, I would not be able to be Buddhist, not truly. I would be faking it if I were to say I was Buddhist. But I admire it, though.
But reincarnation, yeah, I mean, imagine if, you know, you become a acclaimed actor, or whatever. It's like you wake up and you're Willem Dafoe. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Be pretty cool. Apparently he has a big dick.
There you go. So you get that, you know?
Have you heard that story? I don't know what movie it is. There's a movie that
Jesus, right?
The story is that he had to have a body double for the nude scene because his dick was too big. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I've heard.
I would believe it. Things like it. Yeah. Reincarnation. What would you want to be reincarnated to?
I would want to be reincarnated into... That's a good question.
I'd like to be a bird.
I was thinking bird of some kind.
See what it's like to fly.
Yeah.
Dick, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking magpie, maybe a magpie, because magpies just are dicks. And they get away with it. Just people let them get away with it.
That'd be a fun playthrough, yeah.
Yeah, just... there's no repercussions. They're assholes and they get away with it.
And I know, yeah, karma goes along with, like, what you reincarnate as. And I think, like, if you commit suicide, it's gonna be something bad, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But so it's like you can't just, like, end your playthrough and then expect something good and, like, you know. But yeah, if you think of it like that, like, life is just a playthrough and you're gonna get another one.
Just go watch some just go watch some cool. What's it called, and, Tear Zoo, or
Yeah, see which one you want to respawn as.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've seen those.
One of
Those
the
videos.
best, it's
Really
one of
good.
the best YouTube channels.
Oh yeah. Top tier. No pun intended. But yeah, reincarnation. So we talked about non-existence. We've talked about the loop, and we've talked about reincarnation.
Yeah.
Okay. Going from there, reincarnation also kind of plays into the dream theory.
I'm not
I
as
don't know
familiar with the
who
dream theory.
necessarily came up with this, or but it's just this idea that our dreams are actually us peering into either someone else's.
Oh,
It
yeah.
can go with a couple different things. It could go with like we're all one, so we're just looking into another person's life because we're connected. Or it's the idea that we're peering into a life we've lived before. Or perhaps a life we could live in the future. I don't know.
I've heard
But
theories that
dream theory
dreams
kind of goes
are
all of that.
like peering
Or like
into a
multiverse.
multiverse.
Yeah. So like dreams you have actually happen. Man, I had a dream last night and it was crazy because it was like Gareth Edwards Godzilla, where it was like from human perspective, and
Nice.
Godzilla's fighting the big monkey, the orangutan guy in the new movie.
Yeah.
But people were getting slaughtered by like these huge Kongs and stuff. It was awful, terrifying. But Godzilla saved the day and he didn't step on me, so that was cool. But what if that was real? That's what dream theory says. And that actually happened in
I don't
either one of
remember
my
most.
lives or somewhere out there in the multiverse.
I don't remember most of my dreams.
I remember that one.
Most of the time,
Parts of it.
I usually only just remember one little part. I know last night, rock climbing was
Oh, that's
part of
cool.
it.
Yeah.
Remember a while ago, I had a dream, and I the only thing I remember was that my a large dog. was stepping on my balls.
Ouch.
Um,
See? And imagine that was
and
just a
and
life
not
you lived. That's just out in the multiverse.
like in the way where like I was like sitting on the ground and like as if someone was holding food up behind me and the dog was like trying to get to the food and like
Oh
trampled
yeah.
over me, and I distinctly remember
Stepped on your
stepping
balls.
on my balls. Yeah, that was part of the dream. I don't remember anything else about the dream, but I guess maybe that could be a past life.
Well, that's happened to me in real life.
Yeah,
Stepped
that's
on your
definitely
balls.
yeah. I had a Saint Bernard. That's
Yeah.
definitely happened. So it's a reasonable thing that could have happened in a past life. Yeah.
And so dream theory is not necessarily like what comes after. Well, it goes along with what comes after death. It can go along with reincarnation, but it also feeds into the multiverse theory. That's not what we're here to talk about, even though that does have precedent in quantum physics and everything. But so then beyond that, let's get into one of the biggest ones that a lot of people believe, and it's out there, and it's in many
Yeah.
forms, in many different, you know, basically every, especially Abrahamic religions,
Yeah.
heaven and hell. And then Catholic, you got limbo, purgatory, all this interesting.
Yeah.
Let's just start with heaven and hell. Which one do you want to do first? I'm gonna speculate on.
I mean, I think they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, we can talk individually about different ideas of each of them, which is fun.
Well,
That's fun to talk
yeah,
about,
they do go
but
hand in
they
hand
go hand in
because
hand.
basically, let's just say if you're a Christian, if you believe in God, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, all that stuff, this is just the basics, by the way, but you'll go to heaven. If you don't,
Yeah.
you'll go to hell. And, you know, Dante's Inferno explained that there's the nine or seven, nine circles of hell. Fuck. Is she either seven or nine?
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
No, that's the seven deadly sins. Nine, isn't it?
It's nine. I think it's nine.
Like
Hold
there's a
on.
frozen lake. That's where Satan is. And then There's the one where people are eating each other.
Where's
enough,
the.
but like hell's a mouth, and then like the one where they're just kind of chilling. It's not purgatory, but I know there's one where like philosophers and stuff that, you know, obviously didn't have a chance of leaving Christ.
That's how Dante, I think it's nine. It doesn't have a appendix there. I think it's nine. So
like people that didn't have the chance to believe that died before Christ, they either go to
Dante's
purgatory or they go to
they go to purgatory.
The purgatory. Yeah.
With one exception. Dante describes in Paradiso a Roman like general or soldier, I don't remember their name, who is guarding at the gates of purgatory.
Pontius Pilate? No, he's
no.
Bad. Actually, he would have it really bad.
No, not Pontius Pilate. But so the idea in what Dante presents is that if you were limbo is a place for if you were pre-Christian, someone who is pre-Christian, but Dante imagines would have been Christian if they were born after Christ.
Yeah. And also, I want to specify, we are not neither claiming or no one's ever really will ever claim. Well, people do, but Dante's Inferno is not like what would be found in the Bible.
No,
like
Dante's version
of heaven and hell.
Of the afterlife
is
and never has been considered canon in the Catholic
No.
Church. He kind of got away with it as in it was published and the Catholic Church was kind of like, well, you're not directly contradicting us, so we'll allow it. And it became really popular.
So let's talk about
but purgatory though is so limbo is for the people that Dante considered would have been Christian. So someone like Aristotle, who was I might be confusing Aristotle with I might be confusing Aristotle with Plato, but I think it's Aristotle, who
I
the
know Donnie,
medieval
Donnie
Christians
Donnie,
didn't really like some of those Greek philosophers because they thought they were a little bit they said some things that weren't very Christian, but St. Thomas Aquinas kind of reinterpret it in a way that made it okay. So like someone like that where like Dante would be like, oh, this person, if they were born now, would totally be a Christian. So they can't technically be in purgatory or heaven, but they don't really deserve to go to hell. So they're in limbo.
Limbo, yeah. And
and then
purgatory.
Purgatory is the idea being that you were not good enough to go to heaven,
but
you
have a chance.
You still have a chance, yeah. So you
yeah,
go to
basically
purgatory, and there, and it the way he describes
it's
it is
basically for people that have been good, or maybe they are good, but they, you know, never believe Jesus died for sins. They don't believe in God, all that.
Oh no, you'd go to
right?
hell for that. Yeah.
Oh, you would automatically okay.
In Dante's Catholic
in Dante's
version of it,
yeah.
if you're born after Christ and you don't believe in Christ,
no. you go
to
hell.
That's
now there's different levels though. There's worse levels for
different
sure.
versions of Christianity have different opinions on
if
that.
If you were a good person
that
didn't believe, and according to Dante, you would be in like level one or two, where it's like,
yeah,
I forgot what they it constituted, but it's the, you know, the least of the torture, and you know there's different forms. But you know,
yeah. So there
straight the basics idea of hell though, outside of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Fire and brimstone, sulfur. You know, a lot of people believe it's just a lake of fire, you're just burning forever, or you're getting tortured forever, and otherwise.
So some
I've heard people
people
say you live the worst day of your life over and over again, or you see people die. You know, but either way, let's talk about that option. Okay.
Yeah.
After you die, if you weren't a Christian, and let's just say for the thought experiment here, God is real It's all real. And you weren't a Christian. You're going to hell. That sucks for you. You could be an otherwise amazing person. You could have done amazing things for the world. But God has sent you down to hell and Satan is laughing. And you're there and forever. Eternity. And that's hard to comprehend what eternity means. I'd rather not exist than spend an eternity, almost an eternity anywhere. That's why I think reincarnation would be great, because at least you're getting different experiences forever.
Yeah.
And then, but hell, you're getting tortured by some kind of means.
There's different ideas of it too. I know some people, some Christians will hold, and I think this is a minority, will hold that hell doesn't exist. That hell.
That's definitely a minority.
That there's just the whole fear of God that thing. The idea is that there's just an afterlife, and that hell is an invention by organized religion to control people. So, and it's definitely a minority. Mormons,
there's something like that.
But Mormons don't exactly believe in a traditional hell. They will hold. So they do have a sort of hell. They call it outer darkness, which is just super metal, very out of character for Mormons to have a name of something that's so cool.
Outer darkness.
Yeah. And the idea of that is that to get there, you have to believe and actually know the truth about God and then still betray God. So
right, that's an interesting. That's like saying you believed it, but you just said "fuck you, God."
Yeah, exactly. And so it from their perspective, it's like if you legitimately just don't believe, you don't go to hell just for not believing. What they generally believe is that when you die, if you were a non-believer, you get an opportunity in the afterlife to learn about the truth.
And that's actually interesting. And that's what I've been told in the past, that you get one more chance after you die to make your mind.
Yeah. Well, because I think a lot of that stems from Mormons. A lot of Christians believe this. I think it's more common in Protestants, this Protestant side of stuff, that they describe God as a father. And a father wants the best for his children. So he's
Father,
not
the Son,
so
and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, so he's not gonna just damn you to hell because you didn't know.
Well, and you know, Jesus died for our sins, so we wouldn't just go to hell for committing any kind of sin. No matter how big or small it is, whether it's just, you know, you jerk off one time.
So Mormons kind of will say that when you die, if you were not Mormon, you would go to, they call it spirit prison. Not as harsh as it sounds.
Right.
But the idea is that's where you go to, as a spirit, to learn the truth.
God will bail you out.
And then God can bail you out. And theoretically, if you are there and still deny it, then it's, you know,
then you go to hell, right?
Then you go to outer darkness, because it's undeniable truth that you're experiencing, and then if you're still going against it,
and
that's
just,
but they
out of spite, you're
but Mormon,
why would anyone make that choice?
Yeah. But Mormons also believe that if you're in heaven, there's like three different layers of heaven, and each one is better than the last, and and if you're one of those people who wasn't a good Mormon, who just had to learn it in the afterlife, you go to the lowest layer of heaven. You still get to go to heaven, but you don't get to be as good in the really cool heaven. Yeah, you don't get to be in the really cool heaven unless you were Mormon.
Not the one
in
where
life.
You're like, not the one where you're hanging out with, you know.
So they take this approach of like. You get a second chance, but we're still better than
you.
You
don't get to go to the heaven with all the cocaine, okay? You don't. You go to the one with the it, you know, part of a complex with a nice enough pool, but there's a Band-Aid in it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still a pool.
But there's another kind of aspect to that I don't think this is like an official teaching in the Mormon for our listeners. I grew up in the Mormon church, so this is why I know this
if
stuff.
Listen, for a while you would have put that together.
This is I don't think this is an official teaching in the Mormon church, but I've heard some people say this in the Mormon church. I also don't think this is unique to Mormonism. Is this idea that hell is not a physical place in the afterlife that you go to? That it's the way I heard it described is that this is an interpretation of the Bible where it describes hell as like a lake of fire and brimstone. And they focus on the wording like a lake of fire and brimstone. So they say hell is it's a metaphor for what it feels like. So it's the idea is you're in the afterlife and you can experience all of the guilt for all the bad things you ever did all at once.
Like those moments you wake up 3 a.m. you remember that cringe thing you did.
Yeah. But all of those cringe things you ever did all at once. And it sucks. Yeah. So it's like the idea is that hell is like this torment of the worst guilt you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of idea of
Let's
hell.
Let's cut it down to brass tacks here. Just the most basic ideas. Just to simplify this a bit here. Okay, let's say you die, you never believed, go to hell.
Yeah.
And it could be any of those hells, but it's just an eternity of torture.
It's the South Park hell.
Just some form of torture. Whether it's you're burning alive forever or you're getting, you know,
I still love the
by, you know, the classic
have you seen
the
South Park
cartoon
episode?
You know, like the South Park Satan.
Yeah.
Like he's there. Whatever it is.
I love
that's
that episode
eternity.
Of South Park where it's the introduction where they're welcoming everyone to hell. They're like, yeah, there's barbecues on Thursday nights, and someone raises their hand like, wait a second, I was a Baptist priest my whole life. Well, yeah, it was actually the Mormons who got it right, and everyone goes, ah.
That's pretty good. but let's say that you die, you never believed, and you're in some kind of eternal torture and eternity, still something we can't comprehend, forever.
Eternity is a insane concept.
I'd rather just not exist, right? Or I'd rather just be reincarnated. I'd rather be reincarnated into a snail. At least I can have a cool.
I would rather reincarnation over the possibility of hell.
Someone salts me or something, or a bird eats me, and then I become a freaking.
It's not just see. It's not just it's just not just the idea of torture. It's the idea of eternal torture.
Eternal torture.
I read something recently.
You don't get used to it. You can't get used to it.
I read something recently that was like,
you can't get used to it.
I read something recently that kind of like, because infinity is a really difficult concept to grasp for humans, just the way our brain works. And I saw someone recently, they explained it this way. They said, because someone posted online, it was a Word document that was just a whole page of all zeros, no spaces. And their joke was, this is the number pi, but in numerical order. And just what I can fit onto this page. But then someone pointed out, they're like, technically, if pi works the way we think it does, and infinity works the way we think it does, then a whole Word document of all zeros, you know, however many characters of that exact sequence of zeros, not only does occur in the sequence of pi, but it occurs an infinite number of times.
Infinity goes both directions. It goes all directions.
Crazy. Yeah, it's just it is insane.
So yeah. Eternity torture, yeah, that would obviously be bad. No one wants that. But let's go the other way. There's many different depictions of heaven, but one of the most common ones, it's vague, but it's just like you're in eternal paradise. You know, eternal paradise, and you just, whether it's just you have bliss or you get to do anything and everything and meet people and what you get to see your loved ones again, or you get just whatever your ultimate dream is, you have that. As long as, well, you would be in hell if you want to hurt other people, right? But like, whatever your ultimate dream is, you can have that times a million times infinity. Here's the problem with that, though. Here's the kind of bad side to even heaven. It's still eternity. So would you get bored? Like, there's only so many things you can do for eternity.
I feel like a religious person.
How long could you play New Vegas? Like, that's all I'm asking.
I feel like a religious person's response to that would be that you just wouldn't. You just wouldn't get bored.
You wouldn't get bored. Okay.
Because it's heaven, so God can just.
Well, let's say you
like,
just
make you not
thousand,
bored.
Let's say you get to heaven, and before you even do anything, you just experience a few millennia of just bliss. Just like an orgasm of bliss. Or maybe it is like an orgasm. I don't know. But either way, you experience that.
That's Jackson's version of heaven. Just orgasms.
You experience that for eons. But you don't. You get to the point where you don't realize it's been eons, and then you do something else. So yeah, in theory, if your conscious still works the same way, where you still have the potential to get bored, it would take millions, perhaps maybe even hundreds of millions of years before you run out of things to do, before you get truly bored.
Yeah.
Well,
no, the religious person's response would be,
well, they would be like, oh, you just won it, but that's a stupid response. Okay.
But that is in theory, if we're talking about like heaven in the traditional way, the idea would be that how many times could you play New Vegas? A religious person's response would say, if you're in heaven, you would never get bored of New Vegas.
Yeah.
It would always, every time.
That would be pretty rad.
They would say every time
you're sitting on
the
couch in the clouds.
They would say if you're in heaven, every time you play New Vegas would be like your first time playing New Vegas.
And that's what I want to get to. Let's say you get mind wiped. God hits you across the head or whatever. Get your memory wiped every time. So yeah. You could watch Breaking Bad like it was the first time over and over. You could play New Vegas like it was the first time over and over. Anything.
Well, I guess in theory, the idea would be the optimal, like, sort of
whatever it is
pleasure from it. So,
but
like,
if there's biblically accurate angels.
Yeah. Well, it's like, well, what I'm saying is, like, maybe, for example, your first time playing New Vegas was not your favorite time playing New Vegas. Maybe your third time playing
it was the peak
whatever fun, because now you know the exploits.
You know the systems, yeah.
And that's your peak fun. So when you're in heaven, every time play New Vegas is like your third time playing New Vegas.
Whatever, yeah, is the like, ultimate version of it. then, yeah, if that all holds true, then yeah, heaven is one of the best options for an afterlife. Because you get to exist and you get to party and have fun forever.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that would be pretty great. The whole argument, oh, you just want to get bored, you get your memory wiped or whatever, or you just wanted okay, let's say that holds true. But even if you could get bored, you would eventually not be bored. We all get bored at some point, and then we find something to do, or you know, whatever. So yeah, heaven would be amazing, obviously. I mean that's pretty straightforward. But you know, I would say reincarnation and heaven are really close for me, because I think reincarnation yeah. would be interesting, especially if you are aware, like if you have some kind of like your continuance of consciousness, like you remember your last life, your past
right,
life,
yeah.
or your playthrough. But even if it's just like a restart and you just have these vague background memories of it, you know, that would be all right. But yeah, heaven would obviously be one of the best. So yeah,
there's,
okay.
Yeah.
That's there's, another way.
There's other types of ideas of sort of afterlife other than heaven and hell, right?
Well, we talked about reincarnation. We talked about non-existence. We talked about loop. We talked about heaven and hell. Now, let's get another one. I mentioned it. The Matrix, simulation theory.
Oh, yeah.
You are just in a simulation. You don't have control over your reality. So when you die, either whatever simulation you're in just reboots you, or you get unplugged and you're just a game. You're not even real, which is worse
this
than most of our options.
Yeah.
It's a simulation. Or you are part of that consciousness. You are just
yeah.
a simulation.
That's
you're everybody.
See, now we're getting into.
You're one with every. You are everybody. We are simultaneously all living the same lives.
When we're getting into that idea, we're getting into like not just like metaphysics, but we're getting into like epistemology and stuff like that. Like, what if this is a simulation?
Yeah.
Like, and that's a whole
well, yeah.
can of worms.
It's
the brain in the jar story, which I'm not gonna go over because you're familiar with that.
Definitely Descartes.
For our listeners,
even though
go,
he didn't say that, but that
yeah,
was his idea.
For our listeners, go read Brain of the Jar story. It's pretty good.
How would we know?
It's
all we know is I think, therefore I am.
There's a problem in epistemology, and it is the I think, therefore I am. That it's a problem, because I think the whole idea of I think therefore I am comes from Descartes, who his entire point was to try to prove the existence of God philosophically, logically.
Right.
So his idea was, he goes, okay, I'm going to strip back all of my beliefs. Just pretend I have no beliefs at all about the world. And start logically. What is the first thing logically that I can actually say that is true? And that's where he comes with, I think, therefore I am. He goes, I am a thinking being, therefore I can deduce that I do exist. Because I am thinking right now. I exist in some way, shape, or form. And then he goes on to add on, to build off of that.
Yeah.
And he eventually does, in his own way, try to prove that God exists. There's a theory that he never actually believed any of that shit. That he never truly got past.
Right.
I think, therefore,
it's
I am.
Experiment.
So where it comes from? So the
just doing what we're doing,
and it's this problem of, can we actually prove that?
I mean, it
this
goes
is
back
real.
To the beginning of this whole episode. I
yeah,
mean,
like
we don't know until we finally die, until somebody pulls the plug, right? I mean, or until we die, or until,
yeah, like,
I mean,
and the solution that epistemologists have come up with
is
basically, we have to just lower our standards for what we can consider knowledge. From apps, because that's another thing with Descartes, is he was an absolutist in his way.
Yeah.
So to truly know something, you have to have absolute proof.
Mm-hmm.
So an epistemology, the solution is we got to lower the bar a little bit. Just say, okay, absolute proof is impossible. So what is the next best thing?
You know, some
Yeah.
Yeah, like gravity. It's the law of gravity.
Yeah.
Sir Isaac Newton, the Apple fell on his head. Everyone knows about it. But that one time you drop something and it goes up or it just stays or whatever, then gravity, everything is thrown out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you cannot absolutely with certainty say that gravity is always going to work
Yeah.
how it's supposed to. But, you know, physicists
but also
all believe that it's a
yeah.
fundamental force of the universe, gravity,
Yeah.
electromagnetism,
Because it's like,
radiation, you
and
know,
there's tons of
but
different theories when you lower the bar of knowledge from absolute to a little bit, just a little bit lower, there's all sorts of different theories on what counts as knowledge and what doesn't. But when it comes to like that whole absolute knowledge, how do we know that I'm not being deceived by a demon? How do I know that I'm not in the matrix? How
it
do you know
just
I'm not, how do I
keeps
know I'm not a
going.
brain in the
It
jar?
just opens a
And
whole jar of worms. And
my,
you're like,
my favorite is, I think this is, I think Kant said this, so I'm going to say it was Kant. had this idea of, well, this is the reality I'm experiencing. So until I have reason to think that it's a different reality, I'm just going to, the most logical or most, not logical, the most rational thing to do is to act as if this is true.
Yeah, and that's all.
So I mean
We
that I
can.
think that's where it ties into
That's
like
all we really can
the
do.
idea of the afterlife, and what if this is the
Yeah.
Matrix, and the
And
afterlife
these
is
kind
me
of
waking up
discussions.
from the Matrix? It's like, well, I will
Yeah, and then
find
you're
that
like
out.
Keanu Reeves in the pod.
Yeah, well, it's
You
it.
know?
Well, it's the idea is that I will. The
Right.
way we cope with that idea is that I will find out if that is the case when I
And I'm
get
just
there.
gonna, yeah.
But until then, what am I going to do about it?
No, you're not going to do anything
And that's
unless
almost a
you go to
stoicist
extremes.
like way of thinking about it. Like, what am I going to do
Well,
about it?
and
It's...
as I've gotten older, even without thinking about it, even before I took philosophy courses and got into that, I would at least like to call myself a stoicist.
I like stoicism. I think there's some
Yeah,
problems with it, but they're I think overcome. I think
you
they're
can pick
problems you can
apart
overcome.
anything. I mean.
I
But
think
you
the
know
main
the
problem with
primary. Well, what do you think the main problem is?
The main problem with stoicism is that it leaves very little room for emotional complexity.
Yeah.
But I think
Yeah.
I've not
That
spent a lot of
that's a
time on
given.
it. I think that is
But the
a
idea.
problem that can be overcome.
Right.
So
But
I
the
yeah.
basics of stoicism is that you can only control how you react to things, and you can only control yourself. You can't control any external force. So
Yeah.
whatever happens to you or anyone else, but especially whatever happens to you, you just kind of basically you essentially just roll with the punches. You don't cry over spilled milk. You control how you react to things. You remain stoic and you just continue on with life. And it does help with a lot, you know,
Yeah.
because you it can help with confidence as well, but it also just helps you just deal with things that, like, oh man, if you get in a car wreck, well, it's like there was all kinds of circumstances that would have led to this. I can, the only thing I can control now, and it's kind of a reactionary thing, but the only thing that I can control now is how I perceive it, how I react to this,
Yeah.
and what I do going forward. And
It's I think
Stoics
stoicism
don't worry about
shouldn't
that
be a
because
way
it's
to
nothing you can
completely
control.
shouldn't be a way to completely live your life, but there's definitely wisdom to be found in it. Like
Definitely wisdom there.
the idea
And
that
a lot of
like
Rome, it's of Roman wisdom.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and
Marcus Aurelius.
yeah.
Who well,
Actually, I think I have a Marcus Aurelius
I
quote
mean
here.
yeah, I was about to say, speaking of Marcus Aurelius, I'm kind of glad we went down this idea because he talked about death a lot in
Yeah, so here's a
Meditations.
quote. This is from someone on Reddit, so hopefully this is a true quote. He has a good amount of upvotes, so let's just assume. Live a good life, If there are gods and they are just, then they will not care how devout you have been, but will welcome you based on the virtues you have lived by. If there are gods but unjust, then you should not want to worship them. If there are no gods, then you will be gone, but you will have lived a noble life that will live on in the memories of your loved ones. And that's what we were talking about earlier. And so as a Stoic, I mean, you don't know that, but you can only control how you can only control yourself.
Yeah. I think the way I apply the way I apply it to myself is just trying to think of it as, does this situ does reacting poorly to a situation actually make it better?
Exactly.
Again, I think there's some emotional complexities in our brain and how we work as people that stoicism doesn't account
block
for
yourself out from a lot and like yeah. really shut yourself in.
That's some Ki-Adi Mundi shit, and Ki-Adi Mundi is the worst member of the Jedi Council. Just total piece
so
of shit
stoic to the point where you don't care for anyone, you really just care for yourself and how you interact and react.
But I have a question for you though.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, I'm throwing this as now because it's related to Marcus Aurelius. So Marcus Aurelius, from what I, this is off the top of my head memory, so don't quote me on this as like a source. But when he talks about death, he has this idea that death is a natural part of life. As in, not like just deal with it.
Everything must come to an end.
No, not exactly in the sense of just like, oh, it's gonna happen, so just deal with it. But more like, it's part of the circle of life. It is a thing that
circle
happens to
life.
Us because we are mortal beings. So he says, since we are mortal beings, not only should we accept death, but we should see death as a duty. That death is it is our responsibility as mortal beings to eventually die. He is not saying that like, oh, you should welcome death with open arms, but he's saying, but don't be afraid of it because it's, you know, we are doing our part.
I mean, I can't let me just be honest. I can't 100% say that I want to fear death, especially when it's knocking on my door. You know,
but
at the same time, I accept it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, can just rationalize that it happens to everybody. Like I've always said, you know, we all have the same destination, no matter how rich or poor you are, or whatever you do in life.
Yeah.
Is for the foreseeable future, we all die.
Well, that's another thing that Marcus Aurelius talks about, is how Alexander the Great's carriage driver is buried in the same place as Alexander the Great. But I was thinking about this, what Marcus Aurelius said, and I came up with this question I wanted to pose to you. If you, considering like his take on it, of death is not just inevitable, but it is a duty as a mortal being. Say this is a thought experiment. If you were presented with the option for immortality, but just you, not everyone, would you take it?
Sorry, my dog's barking. What were you saying?
I was saying, so if you were presented in this thought experiment, you were presented with the option to accept immortality, but just you, would you take it? And if so, or if not, why?
I want you to answer this question as well. My answer would be no. If I'm the only one that's immortal, and all this talk we've had about the afterlife, that wouldn't apply because I would never die. So
you'd never get to find out?
Probably. I would never get to find out. And I would probably, more than likely, get an internally worse experience than pretty much anyone else that does die and either goes to hell, heaven, reincarnated, goes through the loop, or there's nothing. I would be alive for infinity in the void after the heat death of the universe, after the, all the stars go supernova, until we get to a new Big Bang and it goes
I'm talking a little bit more like not what would happen to you if you were immortal. I'm talking more like the concept of immortality. Do you think rephrase the question. Do you think it would be acceptable to for you to take accept it? I guess that's more the question. It's not okay. Would you deny immortality because immortality would suck, but more like, would it be acceptable for you to say yes to immortality? Because someone like Marcus Aurelius would say no, because death is a duty. We are mortal beings, so we must eventually die.
So without thinking of the consequences, essentially.
Without thinking of the consequences of what would happen in a million years to you, would accepting the gift of immortality
most people, not excluding myself, think short term. What they're doing next weekend, what they're doing this weekend, what they're doing tonight, what they're doing tomorrow, what they're doing in the next few years. But in the scale universe, that is nothing. They're doing in 20 years, what they're doing by the time they retire. In the scale of the universe, that is nothing. So with that perspective,
right?
Yes. If I could be immortal and get to see all the cool things that happen, or terrible things that happen, but like at least get to play any video games, you know, or whatever. But see all the cool things that happen. It would be incredibly hard to deny that. But I also can't help but think about all the long-term stuff, because it, as I just discussed. So, no.
Right.
So it's not really a moral objection. It would be cool, but it would only be cool for so long.
I have a moral objection to it.
Okay, what's your moral objection? Because everyone else you love died?
No.
Okay, because what?
It's the action of being immortal in the first place. Not the consequences of it.
Why me?
So,
okay,
I in general am lean towards a Kantian view of ethics. And one of a core idea of Kant's ethics is one of the thought experiments is that if something is wrong, if by a rule of thumb, if everyone did this, would that be bad?
Oh, if everyone did it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, this idea in Kant is not perfect. That's a can of worms I'm not going to open. But for me, if I were to become immortal, but if I were to pose that as if by rule of thumb everyone was able to become immortal, would I think that would be okay? And I don't think that would be okay.
Yeah, Hitler was immortal.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. Or
you don't want to hang around with those guys.
Yeah. Or Henry Kissinger.
Right.
Yeah. No, I would not be okay with that. And if I'm not okay with everyone being immortal,
then why would you be okay with...
Why would I be okay with me being immortal? What makes me better than everyone else and more deserving of being immortal?
And also, to quote from The Dark Knight, from Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
So, and if you're immortal, you might end up doing horrible things.
Yeah.
Do great things.
It's true.
But immortal implies eternity, and that leaves room for an infinite amount of possibilities of what you would
Yeah, that's
do.
True too. Yeah. So like,
yeah.
I think the consequences
say I
are
deserve that?
Bad,
but
but
that's
also,
why, like,
but yeah, I have
at
a
least
moral
the
objection
afterlife,
to it.
Like with heaven and hell, and let's create our own thing. Let's say you just go to heaven based off if you are an objectively morally good person. You put positive energy in the world. You help your fellow man. You do good things. Or at least you don't do bad things. And I'm not gonna,
right.
Let's not get into what's good and what's bad and whatever.
Yeah, that's a that's
let's
a
just start. That's a whole other can of worms. But let's
that's
just
we're
start
not
there.
Gonna get. Yeah.
Let's say our version of heaven hell, you just go to heaven just for being a good, decent person, just living an honest life. You go to hell if you're a serial killer or if you're a terrible person, you're a pedophile, whatever. If it's that case, then immortality, it would be fair, right? Because but then that opens a can of worms, like who's the judge, what's good and bad. But like, let's say that's the version of heaven hell, then you could accept that. Because then, but also, immortality, you don't die, so you don't get that. So with
no.
immortality, you never get that final curtain call. Like,
yeah,
you have opportunity to do good or bad things when you're immortal, because when you die, you can't do anything. Unless, and there's one more thing we haven't talked about, we should just touch on. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Ghost. Let's say you become a ghost. And you can. And I think this one could actually be decently all right. It could be fun.
It depends.
At least
it
for
depends
a while.
on your idea of how it would happen
like,
and all that.
Or
Yeah.
Like what
yeah.
kind of ghost you are. Or like,
yeah.
Because if you're the kind of ghost that just like fucks with people. Spooks them, or even just like they put their keys somewhere and then you put them somewhere else, or you know, that'd be fun for a while. And then I go, just being a dick of a ghost, or you could be a scary one, you can experiment, you could play around with it. Like, what kind of ghost am I going to be today, or this new person, or whatever? Am I going to be like the Ring, crawl out of the TV? Maybe, let's give that a try. I think a ghost could be fun, but it also could be terribly boring. Because let's say you're a ghost that's haunting a place, but no one's there to talk with. You're just like haunting an empty graveyard, or you're haunting an abandoned house, or actually you're haunting the plot of land that a haunted mansion was on, but it got demolished, and you're just there hanging around.
Just hanging out,
or
empty lot.
You're the kind of ghost that possesses
you're the
a doll.
You're the
or
ghost
whatever.
Of the empty lot. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Or you're a ghost that possesses a doll or something, and then you're a stupid doll.
Yeah.
So the whole ghost idea has fun opportunities, but there's also, it could be very lame.
It feels like kind of a lottery of like whether or not
you're
gonna
rolling
get
the dice.
You're gonna get to be a cool ghost,
it's
or
like, okay,
a boring ghost.
If I
or
just die right now, at least I could fuck with the next tenants and whatever of this apartment.
Yeah.
But if I just died out in the field somewhere, or like, or, and also you have to think, how does being a ghost work? Do you just haunt the residents of where you died, or do you get to roam the world?
It depends
as
on
a
the
spirit?
ghost, I guess.
It depends on the type, and like, it,
yeah,
there's too many like ifs and ands and
constituencies. Like
what of
what
a
if
ghost.
What if you, what if it's like you it depends on where you died and all that, and what if you got
it depends
killed at,
on like,
what if you got killed at work?
Oh God.
And now you're just in your office, like
sword.
As a ghost, you're in your office clothes, and you're just at work now. Just haunting your work. That would suck.
I mean, if I died in a brewery or something, that'd be pretty sick.
But there's that too. What
but
if you
ghost,
died? What if you died at J-Bo's? and you can just like That'd hang cool out at JMO's.
Yeah.
Be cool for a while. It would get old eventually, but
also, like, are you like Slimer where you can eat hot dogs and stuff? Are you like
that
the
was
ring
my
where you're are you like the ring girl where you're just a curse and like
Yeah.
this whole process has to be initiated for you even to like enter the world, like, oh, someone's gotta watch your tape, and then you crawl out of a well and you crawl out of TV
Right.
and then you kill the guy, and then you go back in the well and then you're just and
Then you're just hanging
then
out in the
yeah.
well.
Like what kind of ghost you are. So the
Yeah.
whole
I mean
ghost thing, that's
there's that thing too,
there's
like
too many.
what if you died and you ended up looking like Slimer?
So like John Belushi.
Like you're not even like you. You're like
You know,
just like
Slimer is based off of John
Yeah,
Belushi.
dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Slimer is in the new Ghostbusters.
Oh, since we're on Ghost, what's your
Yeah.
brief review of it, just real quick? We haven't got to talk
Is
about it.
okay. It's
I heard it's
like
fine by all accounts.
it's like I don't want to spoil stuff exactly. It's like what Ghostbusters 2 was to the first Ghostbusters. This is that to Ghostbusters Afterlife.
So
Ghostbusters Afterlife was pretty good. This is just it's okay.
there's only one like objectively great Ghostbusters, and it's the first one.
It's the first one. I thought Afterlife was pretty good too.
No, Afterlife is
That
good,
that's a pretty good movie.
but it's only good because of the first one.
This one it is let's see, the good things. They actually there is a few scenes where they actually put some effort into making spooky stuff happen.
That's cool.
There's
And I know,
some
like, the Ice King, or like, whoever the bad guy is, the ghost.
oh, the bad guy is a negative. The bad guy was
Oh.
honestly barely there. Like
That's disappointing.
not like the worst thing ever, but like just it was it for most of the movie, it's just this threat they talk about.
Interesting
And then at the end
that
of the
we get.
movie, they show up, and then Kumail Nanjiani does some firebending.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah. Is it cringe or not?
By that point in the movie, it's not cringe because you're kind of like, okay, whatever.
Accepted it.
I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. I like Kumail Nanjiani. That's the thing. Is this movie? It's at its best. It has some scenes that are like legitimately well done. It,
I
like the
heard Dan
opening.
Aykroyd has a lot of fun in it.
Dan
I know he
Aykroyd
cuts.
is a major character in it, and that was a good thing for the movie because he is
I heard
fun.
Bill Murray is just bored.
He's in one scene. He's in one scene in the movie. He shows up with sunglasses on and goes, "Hey, it's me, Bill Murray." He doesn't literally say that, but that's the vibe he gives off.
Right.
And he doesn't really
So he's
say anything
bored.
else, and he's just there because Dan Aykroyd was
I
no,
think
but
they
Dan
all have an
Aykroyd.
obligation to be in every Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd was fun though. He's a main character. He's like a major character in it, so that's cool. They have some scenes. The opening scene is really good. They have some
Is there any
scenes where they.
crystal vodka
No,
product placement? No.
but Dan Aykroyd definitely gives off weird conspiracy theory guy vibes, which is good. Like the opening scene is really cool. Takes place in like 19, like the early 1900s in New York. Like a flashback. They have some cool
That's cool.
imagery. There's some cool ghosts that are actually kind of freaky looking. The there's a I don't even remember the comedian's name. There's a British comedian, stand-up comedian who's in it, and he's funny.
That's
There's a
cool.
little side plot
Yeah.
with Finn Wolfhard and Slimer.
I heard that's a weak side plot, but
It's a weak side plot in the sense of there's not much to it, but I kind of liked it. It's kind of
I guess.
they don't do anything like offensive with it. It's just like Slimer's in the firehouse, and there's a few scenes throughout the movie where Finn Wolfhard is kind of just trying to catch him because Finn Wolfhard doesn't really
Yeah.
have much of a part in the movie. He's kind of just there.
That's disappointing. Isn't it a fun coincidence that
It's just an okay movie. It's
we get Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which has Empire in the title and ice person. And then we get Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, which also has Empire tile and
Yeah.
also has an ice related monster.
Yeah.
That's interesting. By the way, Godzilla X Kong, I told you, I mean, we'll have to do a morning all of these where we go in more detail, but and I'm going to keep this brief, but it was rad. Like, all the monster fights were amazing, like top tier. It's like the Showa era monster fights craziness times a million, you know, modern budget and CGI. It's crazy. Godzilla's just shredding monsters apart. Kong's like brawling and like, yeah, the fights and like the monster stuff is
Yeah.
incredible.
Fuck yeah.
Plot elements and
James Acaster. Acaster. I don't remember how you pronounce that.
Acaster?
He's a British comedian. I'm sure you've seen videos of him.
Okay.
He's in it. He's funny.
Cool.
Ernie Hudson's
I just
in it.
Wanted...
It's he's
Well,
cool.
yeah, Ernie Hudson, I would expect him to be.
Yeah, he's cool.
But yeah, with
yeah.
Going to Godzilla and Kong, but yeah, all the fight scenes, monster stuff is rad. It was amazing. It's like a Godzilla fan's heaven. But then the
Nice.
human, you know, the characters are all like a basically exposition joke machine. Jokes or exposition is pretty much the dialogue that we get from the characters. There's one that's like the Ace Ventura of Kaiju, and he's like this Aussie guy. But it is got all the cheesiness of like the Showa era and like of Final Wars.
Nice.
But the monster fights compensate so much for that because it's just so rad. And like with Godzilla evolved, I mean, there's literally a line of dialogue in the movie where they say, okay, God's, this is the exact dialogue, but it pretty much sums it up. Godzilla is going to fight this Alpha class Titan Tiamat because Godzilla is going to fight him to get Tiamat's energy to evolve into a greater form so he can help Kong in this big battle and whatever. And then Godzilla does exactly that on screen after they explain it.
That's
Like
awesome.
literally right after that happens.
I mean,
He fights a big sea serpent.
Usually I don't love like heavy exposition, but sometimes if it's the right kind of
blatantly,
movie,
like it's a
it's
satire.
okay. Like,
And it feels like a parody of the original, the 2014 Godzilla. Like, it's so far removed from that at this point. But there's parts where like Kong is like getting jumped on, but like a group of, you know, apes. And like, but he proves himself to be strongest and everything. And there's the orangutan guy. But like, there's literally a part where they're like fighting 100 Kongs. And then you have like the ice Godzilla and then the orangutan riding him. And then Godzilla, Kong, they all charge in battle. And then there's a slow-mo part. Like, it is just balls to the wall, just crazy. Anyways, that's all I gotta say
I
about
have
it.
to watch that. That
I don't
sounds
want to drag this
great.
on. And the fact, I just want to say this, we're gonna end this here because the fact that we're talking about movies and stuff and this big
Actually,
conceptual. Do you have more to put onto this?
I have something else. Yeah.
Okay, what do you have?
I want to talk about before we end this, because this is actually a good segue. We're talking about movies. I want to talk about
Okay.
a little bit about depictions of the afterlife in movies.
Okay.
Some of our favorite ones. So I've got Screen Rant, which we all know is AI generated these days. I assume. So they've got a list of movies with depictions of the afterlife. So some of these I've not seen.
Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis.
Sixth Sense, I think that's in there. All right, so we're just gonna go down this list, and some of these, if we've not seen,
he didn't
we'll
know
just.
he was a ghost the whole time.
Oh yeah, but we'll just pass over stuff. But we can talk about stuff we want to. Enter the
All right.
Void, 2009. I've not seen that. I don't know that movie.
Ooh, I've. Is that the one that's like the Lovecraftian kind of thing? I still need to check that.
Gaspar Noé's experimental art film follows the journey of an American drug dealer shot down in Tokyo who is subsequently condemned to a purgatorial out-of-body experience. I've never seen this.
Be Lovecraftian. It could be.
What Dreams May Come, 1998. I've not seen that. It's with Robin Williams.
Oh, well.
I'll have to watch that. Beetlejuice. This is a fun one.
That's a weird dimension you go into.
New Beetlejuice movie coming out soon. Beetlejuice 2. Yeah.
Has Michael Keaton back? And
he is, and they finally
on the writer?
Decided to pay Tim Burton enough money to actually do it. Yeah, because Tim Burton notoriously did not want to do a Beetlejuice 2.
Right.
Even though
he wanted to do more Batman, but Warner Brothers didn't like the dark, twisted. After Batman Returns,
I like Beetlejuice. I showed my fiance. She had never seen it. I made her watch it this last Halloween. She liked parts of it. Movie. Oh yeah, it's great. She liked parts of it. She thought the ending was underwhelming, which I don't disagree with. It kind of just ends.
The imagery.
The imagery is great. I think Beetlejuice is a movie that just has some great scenes and some great ideas. But yeah, it kind of
more on the Nightmare Before Christmas spectrum of Tim Burton than Beetlejuice. Oh yeah,
I'll say Nightmare Before Christmas is great. But it has some great stuff in it. Beetlejuice, the whole.
Okay, but anyways.
Let's see. A Ghost Story, 2017. I don't remember that. The Lovely Bones. Oh, I have seen that.
What's that about?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay.
I just know it
must have really been a good movie.
I just know I've seen it. It's Saoirse Ronan. I know that. Afterlife.
Ghostbusters?
I don't know. No, I don't know that one. These are not movies. These are not good movies. Well, maybe they are. This is not a good list.
I haven't seen them, therefore they're not good.
Heaven Can Wait. Have you seen that?
I did ask. No. Oh, and then you have all the Christian movies. They're like, oh, heaven is real. All
right, this is the lame list. I'm gonna find a different list.
God is real, or you know, all those movies. I asked ChatGPT, and we do got to wrap this up, to be honest, but I asked ChatGPT, what happens after we die? Rank the theories from least to most desirable.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. Oh, I got another list here with a few other. A Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah. Great
movie.
Great depiction of the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. The things I remember the most about it
they become ghosts. Right.
Yeah, that's the whole premise of the movie.
Well, then they play Jessica Grim Reaper, and it's based off that other movie.
It's a parody.
It's a parody of Seven Deadly. No, what is it called? But there's the movie where the knight.
It's an old like. It's originally like the Seventh Seal.
The Seventh Seal. Yeah. We talked about that.
It's a Swedish. It's like a Swedish movie. Yeah. Go listen to our Bill and Ted
episode 12.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's just when we upgraded our mics, that audio quality should be all right.
I like that movie. It's not as good as Excellent Adventure, but it's still good. Seventh Seal is on here too. This list.
It's the same.
Beetlejuice, Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Good movie. I have learned to hate M. Night Shyamalan.
I just know what to expect with M. Night Shyamalan. It's either going to be like an underrated like.
M. Night Shyamalan is a director who has made some.
He's a wild card.
Fantastic movies.
But he's also made.
But he usually makes. Just terrible
like
movies.
The worst. Yeah.
So like recently, I don't know what movie it was called, what it's called, but I saw a trailer for a new one coming out, and I remember seeing the trailer, and
is it The Beach That Makes You Old?
I don't know. I remember seeing the trailer and being like, that looks okay, and then M from director M. Night Shyamalan, and I was like, oh, never mind.
Oh. I just know about his Avatar adaptation.
All right, that's all the movies that look interesting on there. Yeah.
Let's go through this real quick. This is what ChatGPT has to say. Number one, And this is like ChatGPT's rankings on least to most desirable. Number one, non-existence slash annihilation, which I would disagree that that's the least desirable. I would say hell is. But
yeah,
anyways,
I would
this
take
theory
non-existence to hell.
Because you don't know, what does it matter? This theory suggests that consciousness ceases to exist after death and there is no afterlife or continuation of the self. Many people find this idea undesirable as it implies a complete cessation of existence, which can be unsettling or frightening. You know, if that is the truth, I've come to terms with that
It
because
is.
you're not conscious.
It is. I will admit.
Well, it's a little spooky.
It is, from an existential perspective, kind of frightening.
It is, but if you're not conscious, then.
But.
So what?
It's also like, it's the neutral.
It's neutral
option. Yeah.
It's the neutral option. Number two, reincarnation. This is kind of the chaotic good option. I was, we talked about reincarnation. So yeah, it has number two, reincarnation. Number three, heaven slash hell. According to various religious beliefs, such as Christianity and Islam, individuals are judged after death and sent to either state of eternal bliss or punishment. Many find the concept of heaven desirable, that promises eternal happiness. While hell is typically viewed as undesirable due to eternal suffering. Yeah. Number four, and this is interesting. Afterlife slash paradise, it has as number four.
Yeah.
Some belief systems propose the existence of an afterlife where individuals are reunited with loved ones and experience eternal peace and happiness. This idea is often seen as desirable as its continuation of relationships and positive experience beyond death. So that kind of, that just completely ignores the option that fell, which some, like you talk about Mormons, like it's really hard to get to the before dark or whatever it's called,
the eternal darkness,
eternal darkness. Yeah,
or is that what it's called? I
so
don't know. Yeah,
that's kind of like that. And then number five, we touched on this a bit, but spiritual unity slash oneness. Certain philosophies and spiritual beliefs suggest that after death, the individual soul merges
outer
with
darkness.
Greater,
sorry,
but outer darkness. But yeah. The individual soul merges with the greater universal consciousness and /energy. This concept may be desirable for those seeking a sense of connection and transcendence beyond individual existence.
I don't know. As someone who's not spiritual or religious or anything, I struggle to wrap my head around that idea of my consciousness becoming one, but I like the idea of it.
I have a question. Not what you believe or what you think is most likely. What do you think is the best afterlife?
The best one?
That you would desire, personally.
Heaven, I guess. I don't know. That sounds pretty cool.
Right? Yeah.
The idea of reincarnation.
Reincarnation would be a good second.
I think reincarnation
close,
is
really
is a fair sounding idea.
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't have to say
I mean,
what you believe.
So so there's also other.
Well, it's really hard to say that.
Just be, you know, there's other ideas of afterlife that other cultures and people in the past have believed in too. I mentioned
really
at the beginning of this episode Socrates. So Socrates kind of talked about the idea of death in the afterlife and theorized basically there's either two options: either there is nothingness, either, you know, like an internal sleep, or there
Which
is an afterlife.
The eternal
Yeah.
Sleep idea is a bit different.
Yeah. Well,
than the cessation, the non-existence, because there's this weird thing when you sleep, it's comforting.
Yeah.
You're not
well he
actively thinking.
Well, Socrates basically goes like there's either an eternal sleep or there's an afterlife. If it's an eternal sleep, that's cool because I get to sleep. We all know we need it. Like
and it's not
and if it's an afterlife, then I get to hang out with all these cool dead people. So that's cool too. But like in Socrates is.
Well, yeah, and Bill and Ted to hang out with Einstein and whatever.
Yeah. Well, in Socrates, his idea of the afterlife, though, is not. And this is a common thing in like in the ancient world where it's like, it wasn't like heaven or eternal paradise. It was just an afterlife. It wasn't.
You just have another life. You just
continue. Yeah. It wasn't like.
And
So like Socrates, for example, talks about it as his idea of what an afterlife would look like would be like our spirits move on into like, you know, he believed in like Tartarus, but like he envisioned it as kind of like Athens, but just full of spirits. And
just imagine philosophers and wondering about Athens.
Well, he talks about it as like, so like if his idea of what an afterlife would be would have been like, it's we don't have our physical bodies anymore. So if you were a person in life who really liked doing physical things like playing sports, you probably would hate it. But if you're a person like him who just likes thinking a lot, you'd probably love it. Like
your consciousness lives on.
Yeah, so like he kind of imagined it out, and I just bring that up as like we talk about heaven and hell and reincarnation, but there's so many different ideas.
Oh yeah,
if you believe in an afterlife, of what an afterlife could look like.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, no one can really say. And even if you say you don't believe in afterlife, but you can't say that it's non-existent. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. I mean,
on and on and on. Everybody, I mean.
Not saying I believe in it, though. But I think I like the idea of reincarnation.
Yeah.
Not saying I believe in it. I don't necessarily believe in it. I don't know, obviously, but.
Yeah, we don't know.
I like the idea. Yeah,
truly.
It's a good idea.
Well, and that the whole thing with religion, and you could tear it apart. You could argue that it's all just a construct, just a scheme to control people and make people fear God and just all that stuff. But like aside from all that thing with religion and spirituality, you're putting your faith on that. You don't know.
Yeah.
But you put on faith that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So no one truly knows. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care if you're atheist, Christian, Islamic, if you're Mormon, if you're Hindu, Buddhist, etc. And I do not say this to offend anybody. And if you are offended by this, I apologize, but we can't know. You put your faith on.
Let me put it this way.
You cannot deny that you put your faith on God if you believe in God.
Let me put it this way. Without bringing my beliefs about religion or God into it, what I said earlier about like the reality we're experiencing, what Kant says about, you know, regarding the brain in the jar thing of like, until we have reason to believe otherwise, we should treat this as if this is real. Yeah. I think this should apply to the idea of an afterlife as well. Until I have a reason to think that a certain kind of afterlife exists, then I'm going to go about my life focusing on the reality that I'm experiencing.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's plenty, and this is one of the reasons why I like moral theories that are not religiously based.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I'm not religious, but this is without stepping on people's religions, this is a reason to, I think, is say heaven exists, say reincarnation exists, whatever. I'm going to live my life based off a moral theory that doesn't require religious belief.
Yeah.
And I think, and then when I get to the point where I die and transition into death, whether it's ceasing to exist or there is an afterlife or whatever, I can still be confident in myself and say, I'm happy with the life I lived.
You're happy with the life you lived and whatever happened after.
Yeah.
It's up to fate.
So
it's up to the universe. And the ultimate catch to all this, when we finally do find out what happens after, can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Even a ghost can't tell anybody. And if a ghost did, you'd call bullshit. Because it's a stupid-ass ghost. Like you're playing a Ouija board with your friends in high school. And then you throw in...
I've never played with a Ouija board.
I have one little story that we can end all this. And this is a side tangent, but it's
I want to hear it, though.
My senior teller, he's atheist. He's clear. He made that clear to everybody. But he does believe in like good vibes and bad vibes and like not messing with like black magic and voodoo and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, I'm not gonna mess with that stuff. That's just inviting negative energy. That's just bad vibes.
There is a weird thing where that we're like, I personally am not spiritual. I'm not superstitious, but I don't say the S word.
You're just a bit stitious.
You know what I'm talking about. With cryptids and native stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't say that word.
So you're not superstitious. You're just stitious.
I'm just a little stitious. Yes. So, like...
but anyways, my supervisor told me that back in the 80s, him and his friends got a Ouija board. They got a Ouija board, but they didn't really play with it. They played with it a little bit, and they didn't really get any, like... like results or whatever, is just whatever they, because they with the Ouija boards, ultimately you have to just buy into it for it to work, unless you do believe in it, unless you. But
I don't know. I've never played with one. I don't know.
And by the way, he's a big Dodgers fan. By the way, that's another side thing.
Hell yeah.
He said he used to work in Rancho Cucamonga. So there you go.
What?
Cool. Yeah, he used to like. Put up drywall there or something like
that. Very cool. Have you told him that that's where I'm from?
Well, we talked about
that's it. Fun.
He had a Ouija board. Him and his friend were at his house. His parents were gone. They were the only people there. They were playing pool, and they went to get food, and they finished the game of pool. The only thing he said that was left on the table, because they just ran to get food, they didn't put anything up, was the cue ball.
Uh-huh.
Well, supposedly, when they got back, the eight ball was back on the table, and the cue ball was nowhere to be found. Or, no, the cue ball was there, but the eight ball and the cue was back on the table, like, ready to play the final shot.
Uh-huh.
And that freaked them out, but they were like, you know, it could have been an earthquake, or maybe they just forgot they left it like that. Whatever. But it was just a little weird. But then he said, like, a few months later, they invited some girls over, and, you know, it was just the four of them. It was another situation where there was no one else aside from them. They were hanging out. The girls noticed the Ouija board. And I can't remember if he said they played with it or not, but he showed them where it was. He had a huge, you know, he had a stack of board games in his closet. You know, top of his closet. The Ouija board was like bottom or like the second to the bottom.
Wow.
Like you had Sorry, Monopoly, Jumanji, and the other Ouija board. You can get them from Hasbro, from Toys R Us.
You can buy them at Walmart, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not kidding.
For the Durango, Walmart didn't carry it for the longest time because people complained about it because it's but
yeah, they do now, though.
But, yeah,
at least last time I was there, maybe it was.
but he showed him that, and then they were hanging out later on, and then they hear this big thump, and it sounded like it came from the closet. And he looks, he opens the closet, and the Ouija board is on top of all the other board games.
Oh, nice.
So that happens, and he's like, fuck this. And he throws it in the dumpster. And he said the dumpster was actually right outside his window.
Oh.
So he throws it in. And I was like, all right, and that's the end of it, right? And he was like, no. It's not the end of it. Well, supposedly, later on that night or something, he goes and, like, puts something in his closet, and the Ouija board is back in its place. And not only back in its place, but on top of everything again. And then he said he physically walked down to the dumpster, threw it in there, and slammed it shut, and then he never saw it again. And, you know, he could be bullshitting me. He could be misremembering things, you know, because it's from the 80s. Or, you know, they could have been high. Yeah. Who knows? Because he did specify. He was like, I'm not going to go into too much detail on, like, what we were doing.
Right, right.
At the moment. But he swears on it. And because we joked around about, like, bringing a Ouija board into the branch for shits and giggles. And he was like, hell no. If you do that, I'm transferring. And, you know, that opens another can of worms.
I mean,
it's a means of communicating.
I mean, I feel like
an afterlife.
I feel like this could be a whole episode in it by itself, which maybe we can do sometime. But the idea of, like, we talk about the afterlife and theories about it, but there are people out there who have stories. They've experienced near death experiences. Or stories with ghosts.
Yeah, seances.
My mom, for example, she stayed at a hotel, the Hotel Del Coronado, down near San Diego.
San Diego, yeah.
Yeah,
Coronado Island.
Coronado, right? Yeah. You've been in the area, I think. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. And she stayed, that hotel's haunted. It's famous for being haunted.
Yeah.
Stayed in the hotel room that was like the floor, like same room, but the floor beneath of the haunted hotel room. She swears that she had some experiences that night.
And it's this
crazy thing where it's like, okay, we say these things, we theorize, we try to be like philosophers about it, but then people, but
until you see something,
really, they have experiences. And I mean, when someone tells me they have a ghost experience, it's not that I'm saying that I 100% believe that that's exactly what, like,
or that's what it was, or
that's what
know,
it was, but I believe
it was just their perception,
but I believe that they believe it. That their experience is what they're saying
like
it was.
You trust.
Yeah, and, I'm not. When someone tells me a story of them with a ghost,
what?
I'm not. I don't think that they're making it up or exaggerating.
And
so that's a
I'm
whole
this,
thing.
Yeah.
And who knows?
I'm this way,
maybe
I'm this way, but and I know you're also this way. Despite how, well, I don't want to make any claims about who you are or whatever, but like logical. "Quote unquote," you try to be, right?
I don't try to be. I'm a.
You know, it's the, like you said about Kant. You know, it's the reality you live in, so you accept that.
I'm a philosophy nerd. I don't claim to be a logical person.
A logicist, yeah. But either way, you're open minded. So, like, if you personally saw something like that, that would open the whole Pandora's box,
yeah.
And then you would.
Well, it's like
I am,
for example, a self-proclaimed atheist, but I used to be more cynical about it, but these days I'm more like, hey, when I say I'm atheist, what I mean is that when someone says the statement God exists, my response is, Okay. Are you going to provide some sort of argument for why or how?
Right.
And I have yet to hear an argument for why or how.
That makes me
That
feel like you're
convinces
not
me.
atheist.
But that is what atheist is,
You're.
because atheist is not a belief
I thought
system.
that was more agnostic.
No, agnostic is that you believe there's a God, you just don't follow a religion.
Okay, I always thought it was just
A
like you're
no, no,
open-minded.
no, no.
Like,
Atheist is. I
you're
mean,
not a
I.
believer, not
There are
disbeliever.
atheists out there who will say with certainty there is no God. I'm more like, but I think a lot of atheists are more
But
like,
that's a
see it as more
fallacy.
like atheists. It's not a belief system. It's a lack of a belief system.
Right.
It's
And
a it's
those
a
who
I'm
say
not
there's.
saying there is no God. I'm saying I don't believe there's a God.
Right. And those
If
who
you were to
deal in
provide me
absolutes.
with adequate argument, an adequate argument and evidence, I
Yeah.
would change
And it
my
just doesn't
mind.
work that way.
But I have
And,
yet to experience that. I
unless
don't know.
you saw something or had some kind of
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe
enlightenment,
I
because
saw
it could happen. Who
Slimer,
knows?
and
You can see
maybe I
Slimer,
saw,
yeah.
maybe I see a ghost of John Belushi, and I'd be like, well, shit.
Well, there's stuff out there. I
There's
don't know what it
something
is,
out there.
but
The Blues Brothers, apparently.
but anyone that deals in absolutes like that, there's no such thing as an absolute. So, and
Yeah. It's
all you Reddit, moderators out there, that believe absolutely that there's no God, or absolutely there's no such thing as ghosts, or absolutely there's no reincarnation, or whatever. Sorry, but
yeah,
you're gonna
it's
be wrong, and you're gonna be wrong on one of those, or if not all of those. And in fact, everything we've talked about, everything we've thought about, may not have anything to do with what it actually is. It could be something that we cannot even comprehend. Like, we
probably
can't
most of us
even.
are wrong
Yeah,
about a lot
and
of
it's
stuff.
something.
I mean, it's the like the
It's
number one
something that
thing.
we could, like, never even
It's one
come
thing
up
I
in concept
learned
for.
taking philosophy courses in school was, and this is a pet peeve I have in TV shows. I see this all the time. A while back, me and my partner were watching the Criminal Minds. One of the characters was like doing some studying philosophy, taking some classes, and he goes, "You know, that's what I like about philosophy is there's no wrong answers." And I'm like, "No philosophy major would ever fucking say that.
No.
There's no wrong answers. No, philosophy comes down to there is a right answer. We're just arguing over about which one is right."
Well, because to
Because,
say there's no wrong answers is
and
also,
honestly,
that's
maybe,
also an absolute.
yeah, well, it's like maybe we're all wrong and we just haven't figured out the right answer yet.
Or we
That's
won't
a
figure it out
possibility, or maybe
until.
we never will, or all that sort of stuff. But there
Or the
is,
only time we will is when we die, but we can't tell
yeah,
anyone.
but there is
So,
a right answer out there.
yeah, it
A
is out there.
good philosopher will
Yeah.
admit
And
that
that's why I've said it.
they might not have the right answer.
I've said it before, and I mentioned this earlier. Record this podcast. It's going to exist for a long, long, long time, at least until mankind implodes on itself, however long that goes on.
Until the internet shuts down.
Until the internet shuts down,
Yeah.
right? Until whatever hard drive this ends up being stored
Because
on, it's
I'm
on my
so
phone. I
because
have
I'm
it on my
sorry,
phone. It's on
I'm
my
not gonna
computer.
save this down on a floppy drive and a floppy disk and
And like some vault dweller's gonna find.
some
No,
fault. Yeah.
but I propose, if you are a spirit, please contact us. I would love that. And if you're a
Yes.
time traveler,
Yes.
come on.
Yeah.
Give us something. Come on. We are asking for it. Do it.
I'm
And
doubtful it's gonna
according to
happen,
time travel,
but
you should be able to do it right now. And I could read.
yeah.
Text me, man.
Yeah. I doubt it's going to happen, but yes, I agree.
And it should happen retroactively right now. Because that's how time travel works. Unless you mind wiped us. Anyways.
Yep.
This has gone on way too long. We will see you next week. Had a lot of fun with this. This was really cool.
This was a good episode.
Definitely want to do more stuff like this, open-ended, you know, philosophical questions. I've even thought about like us doing a little debate or something just for fun.
Oh, totally. Yes.
But just for fun. But you know, that could definitely get heated.
Just for fun. We got to keep it civil. Fun. You know how both of us have a tendency to be.
Well, you get you get really I would say just aggressively enthusiastic with your beliefs and philosophy. And
yes,
I can
yes.
also get that way, but I just get frustrated.
Let's just put it this way. We both have a tendency when we're put in situations to be assholes.
Yeah. Because what type of asshole we are is different.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be different, or it can be the same, or, you know. But anyways,
we do that, we'll set rules so we don't be assholes.
We'll set standards. Yes. We'll set it. But anyways, we'll see you next week for a new episode of the Odd Drunk Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you didn't get offended. I hope you just had fun with it. If you have any ideas, let us know. And give us a download, like, rating, review on your platform of choice. And I also wanted to give a quick shout out. And it's kind of a funny coincidence that we've covered some Japanese stuff, but we have some Japanese listeners.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually the first time that I've seen Japanese listeners in a long time, or maybe if ever. I'm sure we've had some before, but I just want to give a shout out to our listeners in the land of the rising sun. Hope is all as well. I've always wanted to travel to Japan. Looks awesome. And I am sorry for our mispronunciations on the Wolverine episode.
Yes, yes.
I apologize. And Godzilla and any Japanese movie. Or
very bad at pronouncing Japanese names and stuff.
But
very
anyway,
bad.
We really appreciate it. It's cool to have listeners all the way over there in Japan. Hope, like I said, hope all is well.
And every once in a while we say it. You said it briefly there,
but we're a bunch of just a dumb American.
Yeah. Well, you said it briefly there a moment ago, but if any of you listening here have a topic you want us to cover, let us know. Shoot us a message on Instagram, Facebook. Probably Instagram is
at
the easiest way to get a
hold
of us.
Well, I'm going Facebook dark for a while, personally.
Yeah. So go on Instagram. So you can shoot us a message on Instagram. I can guarantee you right now, if it is not inappropriate, if it's
and
a good idea, we'll do it.
Inappropriate for us, it would have to be something very demonstrable.
I mean, what I mean is, we're not getting a huge influx of people suggesting topics, your voice will be heard.
Also, the silent majority that just enjoys listening. Or at least downloads us. Thank you.
Yes.
Anyways, the fact that anyone likes listening to this is pretty cool in my opinion. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Odd Drunk Pod.
This is not a test. I repeat, this is not a test. The Odd Drunk Podcast recommends you follow their Instagram and join their Facebook group for more fun content. To visit all of our current streaming and social media platforms, visit the link tree in the description. If you enjoy the show, we would be appreciated it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts. The Odd Drunk Podcast would like to remind you to drink responsibly and not to drink and drive.